Blog Talk Radio.
Tears don't dry as another baby cries. Happy on the streets with your head held high. The rich get richer, poor, poor ass why. But you blame it on the parents till they barely get by. Caught in the system, barely notice our eye. Liquor store on every corner and you wonder why we die. Drugs taking feelings, but you lock away the dealer. And give them more time than you get to pedophilia. Tension lines up, more gangs and more killers. Leave the innocent people to fight cause y'all don't hear us. No wonder why these young men beat up on their women. Why they get a job to see the convicted felon. Back to the drawing board, babies having babies. You just a baby yourself and you supposed to raise a lady. Fathers walk out, no more commitment and dedication. As a place to see for prom to graduation. And a woman take it out, struggle to put food in her mouth. Keep sitting in your white house, put your children's future plans out. Get a little nervous when we knocking on the door. Make a fuss and the crooked ones never straighten up a statement that I'm making up. A second sleeping down on luck, but then people went off because we know that we can never trust. And they just go for a quick buck when the truth of the matter is, what about us?
Welcome to Make You Think Radio. It's the beginning of a new week, and we have five episodes this week. Tomorrow night, just a quick clue in. We'll be talking about something that's very touchy, which is whether or not part of the decline here in society is because we've removed God. Should he be more involved? Should we be putting that back in? But it has nothing to do with tonight's topic. I'm just touching on that because I had gotten a few emails asking me when that show was. I know there's a lot of people of faith out there that have great interest in building that back up in society. But tonight's episode is a lot different. Tonight's episode is about friends and how many people actually, when you give them that title, deserve it. How many of them live up to the title? Friends is a word, in my opinion, that we throw around way too loosely. And I'll just kind of reflect on myself and what my definition of a friend is. Most of the people that I have as friends, I've had as friends since I grew up. The few that don't fit in that category, there's a couple that have come within the past 7-8 years, one that's come within the past few years. But one thing that they all have in common, and that, in my opinion, of what a friend is a friend is somebody who is with you thick and thin all the time, always has your back, never feels like they're in the middle when there's a confrontation, that at 3 a.m, if you decided you were going to start a business, they'd be right there to support you. At 4 a.m, if you're at the hospital, at 4:01, they're showing up. If you send out a text saying you need to talk, they're calling back in seconds, and it doesn't matter what else they're doing. And so tonight's topic, what we're going to talk about is how many people really fit that criteria. In today's world, we hear the word friend all the time. Funny enough, the show Friends, that was a big hit in the sitcom here in the United States, kind of defines what a friend is. If you've ever watched that show even once, it's all about this group of people that are there for each other through no matter what. And what I find and even with a lot of people I know, is that, you know, they've got new friends every day. Their definition of friend and what I think are a lot different. In fact, I can tell you there's a couple of people who I considered friends that in the past year, 2 years, I've completely cut, gotten rid of. Because in the group that I'm involved in the friends that I have, there is no such thing as sometimes loyalty. There is no such thing as part-time friends, okay? I've said this a million times, and I say it to everybody I know. I'm not looking to have a crowded church at my funeral. I've been to a lot of funerals. Most of them are made up of people that couldn't even tell you the last time they talked to the deceased. I'd rather have a guest list with people that really matter. And so tonight we're going to really dig into what friends are. What really matters, what is a friendship, and the question a lot of you should ask yourself throughout when you're listening to this show is, am I surrounding myself completely with people that fit the criteria of a friend, or am I just making myself feel good because I've got a lot of people around me? You know, life is not like high school. There is no voting for the junior or the king, prom king or queen. It doesn't matter. It's not about a popularity race. Some of the most successful people in the world are not popular. But if you demand respect and you demand loyalty in business, but in friendship, it has to be bigger than that. You shouldn't have to demand it. You should expect it and you should receive it. You should also be willing to give it. The other side of this is how many people out there that are listening to this, besides whether your friends have actually earned a title, do you earn a title of a friend? You know, one thing for me is my best friends can call me at any hour, night and day. They tell me a secret is going to the grave with me unless they tell me otherwise. To me, there is no higher honor than to have somebody that's loyal to you. And loyalty is a big thing. It's very hard to find nowadays, but it's the first ingredient in friendship, and it's something that we're going to talk about throughout this show. And some people may be offended. Some people will tune it out and say, you know what, he has no idea what he's talking about. I know who my friends are, blah, blah, blah. But I'm going to tell you something. Those are probably the same people that on Monday hate somebody and trash them, and on Thursday are out at the club with them. Because there's a difference between a friend and not wanting to be alone, okay? Because a lot of you have confused friendship with acquaintances. You know, it feels good to be in a room full of 10 people that are giving you fist bumps. It means nothing when you walk out the door and all 10 of them wouldn't come running if you needed them. And, you know, when I grew up, one thing that I was taught very strongly is be loyal to the people that are loyal to you, get rid of the people that aren't. And over the past couple of years, I've done that. I really don't ever go to bed having regrets about anyone that I've gotten rid of. I don't have any regrets about anyone that's gotten rid of me. Most of the people that have quit talking to me, quit talking to me because it's hard to talk to me if you're not real, okay? When your mirror has two reflections, you're not going to be able to be friends with me long because mine only has one. And it's not to say that I'm a perfect person because I'm far from that, but I'll tell you what I am. I'm a real person. And when I tell someone I got their back, there is no in-between. I do. One of the things that I also want to talk about tonight that will be very interesting is how big of a role friendship plays in our life, good and bad. And, well, there really is no downside to friendship, but the meaning our friendship and having people who we call friends in our life play a role, good and bad. You know, a lot of times the misconception out there is that just because you know someone a long time, you're friends. Or, you know, being married to someone makes them your friend, or being related to someone makes them your friend. None of that matters. Because at the end of the day, loyalty is only as good as the person willing to give it. I give you a perfect example. Some of my biggest supporters for this radio show, in fact, 95%, if not more, of my biggest supporters for this radio show are people who I've never met. Now, most of the people who I'm friends, well, not most, all the people I'm friends with support the show and they listen. Okay. Some of my relatives listen, but I'd say only about 1 or 2% of them. And on my wife's side, there is no loyalty. You know, they would be happy if this show crashed and burned tomorrow. And I never concern myself with that because here's where you make a mistake. When you look and when you push for people to accept and to do for you as you would do for them, you waste a lot of energy, man. Friendship and loyalty are something that is given. You can't, you know, given to you when you earn it, I should say, but they're not things that you have to beg for. And so we'll get into that. We're going to take a break real fast. When we come back, we're going to start talking about friendship. The number is 347-826-7526. If you agree, if you disagree, feel free to call in and offer your opinion. We'll be right back. And we're back. Tonight we're talking about friendship and if you know how many people have actually earned the title of friend. Is it something that we use too loosely, something that we just give out, something that we call people just because we don't want to say we don't have any? One thing that I always hear people say, and I'm going to jump right into it, is I always hear people say, well, you know, I have a best friend that I haven't talked to in years, or I have a best friend who, you know, we don't really talk anymore, or I have a best friend that I don't see. And I'm going to tell you something, and this is going to hurt a lot of people's feelings, and a lot of people can disagree, but I really don't care because common sense. In today's world of technology, okay, now think about what you have available to you. You have cell phones. You have Skype. You have email. You have the ability to write a letter. I know it's old-fashioned, but you do. You have numerous ways to keep in touch with somebody, okay? In today's world of technology, people who want to be in your life will be. If someone is your friend, they do not lose touch with you, okay? Because here's what the argument always is. Well, no, because life gets hectic and, you know, that's not true. I know my friend and blah, 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 blah. Let me tell you something. If you told me that you and your best friend have not talked on the phone in months, I will guarantee you your best friend's talked to somebody on the phone in those months, right? So in the same time it took your so-called best friend to call somebody else, they could have called you. See, the thing is with technology nowadays, it's not that life gets so busy that you can't keep in touch. It's that life shows us who our friends are, okay? Your friend didn't lose touch with you. Person you hung out with lost touch with you, and it may have seemed like you were best friends at the time because you both had mutual interests and you were alike, and you were going through same scenarios in life, but they were never your best friend. They were your momentary best friend. They were your best acquaintance. They were never your best friend. Let me tell you something. When I think of my best friends, I talk to my best friends on a regular basis, whether it's by text, whether it's by phone. Whether it's actually on the phone or whether it's by text, okay? I don't Skype or any of that. But texting, and it's usually texting, but on the phone, I talk to them almost every day. I'm pretty damn busy. I run a business. I'm a father. I'm a husband. I have a radio show. I have a book coming out. I'm pretty damn busy. But I don't lose touch with them. And I'll tell you what, they're pretty damn busy. Most of them are still out in New Jersey. They're pretty damn busy. A couple of them are spread out to different places. You don't have a best friend that you haven't talked to. You have someone who you thought was your best friend. You want to tell me that if you call that person at 3 in the morning, they'll come running? They won't even pick up the phone to call you. Chances are they won't pick up the phone when you call at 3 in the morning, and that's if you have their number. Because that's the other thing that boggles my mind when I hear people say, we lost touch, I don't have a phone number to get in touch. And it's almost like we excuse it. We say, well, you know, it's really, we were keeping in touch, but then they moved. Well, you didn't move, right? So they knew your address. They've talked to other people in that time. They just didn't talk to you. So bad news tonight. You weren't that important to them. You're lying to yourself if you think you were. The other thing is, friends do not associate with other friends' enemies, okay? You cannot be loyal to somebody and be cool with somebody who does not like them or who is disloyal to them. And I will tell you, and this is a very strong warning you need to understand, if someone you know talks bad about someone they hang out with when they're not around, that person will stab you in the back in 0.2 seconds. 0.2 seconds. Friends do not have, are not friends, or let me rephrase that. A true friend will never be friends with your enemies. They won't even be cool with your enemies, won't talk to your enemies, won't associate with your enemies. You know, when you're on the same team, you're on the same team. One of the things that I admire about 50 Cent is his attitude of with me or against me. Now, I'm not a big 50 Cent fan. I'm not. But I admire that about him. I admire that about Jay-Z. I'm not a big Jay-Z fan, but I admire that. I admired it about Tupac, and I am a huge Tupac fan. Okay? There is no such thing as being cool with your friends' enemies. It doesn't make sense. You know, think about it. How can you sit at lunch with somebody who has bad intent for someone who you claim to be loyal to? That person is the worst kind of person to call a friend. And the sad thing is you look at Facebook, and Facebook is full of them. You know, there's people on Facebook that you could talk to on Monday, and they'll tell you that this person's no good and that person's no good. And Thursday night, they got pictures up of them hanging out. Not me, man. Not me. Never have, never will. If I'm enemies with someone and you're cool with them, then that makes me and you enemies. Or at the very least, it may not make us enemies. Maybe that's too strong of a statement. But it sure as hell don't make us friends. It doesn't even make sense to me. How can I trust that person? It's like that's like when your wife or your girlfriend hang out with their ex-boyfriend. You want to tell me that that girl's loyal? If you say so. None of you would do that, though. But you would hang out with someone that hangs out with someone who you're not cool with, setting yourself up for failure. You're also playing yourself. You're playing yourself, okay? You know, it's not grade school where we kiss and make up every week. We either be friends or we don't be friends. End of story, okay? And that's what a friend is. A friend is somebody that's loyal to you. They're turned off by anybody who's not cool with you. Technology takes away all the excuses to keep in touch. Now, I'm not talking about hanging out, because life may be too busy to find time to hang out. I take myself, for example. I'm in Pittsburgh, and everyone I know is in New Jersey. That shouldn't stop you from seeing them at all during the year, but sure, you're not going to get together every Friday night. It's understandable. You know, got friends that live in Florida. Not expecting to see them every Tuesday. But, man, when you ain't seen somebody in years. And I'll give you an example. One of the people that I cut off in the past 2 years is always telling me, man, I wish we'd get together, blah, 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 this, blah, 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 that. Never came to Pittsburgh to see me. Never came to Pittsburgh to see me. Had moved to North Carolina. Understandable, right? Went with a couple of their friends to an amusement park in Ohio that's about 3 hours from me. Didn't even call. I found out the next day. I said, you know what? Done. And my wife said, well, this and that. Stop it. Stop it. That person, if you meant that much to that person, being 3 hours away from you, man, that would have been more, that would have been bigger than the amusement park, right? Because if that's, and this person was blood to me. But that's the way it goes sometimes. The question is if you have enough self-respect to demand that someone don't show you disrespect. A lot of you don't. A lot of you are so afraid of being alone, you'd hang out with someone who robbed your house. Now, in this day and age, social media also dilutes our thinking of what a friend is, because the truth is, you turn on Facebook, right, and what do they call it? Friend request. And then if you friend request somebody who doesn't have mutual friends, it'll say, well, how do you know this person, right? And these things pop up. Have you slept with them? I mean, it's all this crazy stuff, right? And then it has a suggestion. Facebook basically suggests, unless you've been engaged or have children together, that you not friend request somebody, right? Now, reality is that the average Facebook user has hundreds, if not thousands, of friends. What they should call that is, because here's what Facebook really is. It's a reminder of how many people stopped giving a fuck about you or completely forgot about you. And then you get all fuzzy and warm inside for a minute because you see the person who stopped talking to you 3 years ago, and you're like, oh, that's my man right there. Right? You friend request them. It takes them 3 days to respond. And then you talk for a couple of minutes, and then it's back to normal, right? Social media has diluted or has definitely diluted what our thinking of a friend is, okay? Because now a friend is anybody that you talk to, right? That's basically our social media. I mean, you get on Twitter, there's people on there that think they're friends with celebrities and athletes, right? They're on there tweeting back and forth with LeBron James or tweeting back and forth with, you know, whoever. And they feel like they're part of it. I was listening to Sean Hannity's show the other day. And I listen to Sean sometimes, and I'm not a big Sean fan. I do think he's right on some things, wrong on others, and that's why I'm right down the middle. But I'll tell you what was funny to me. This lady called in, and I forget who it was. Somebody had bad-mouthed him. And she says, you know, we've never met. I'm a listener to the show, but I've stuck up for you, and I wanted to fight, and I'm loyal to you, Sean. You're my Sean, this, that, the other, blah, blah, blah. It's people that aren't even that loyal to people they see every day. This lady wanted to throw down with somebody who made fun of Sean Hannity. And then she started talking about how on Twitter she's always on there and she sends them messages. And because social media has gotten people to believe that they got more friends than they have. It's diluted the word, right? It has. It's diluted the word. It's like you buy one of those cheap six-packs. It takes away all the meaning of beer. That shit ain't Heineken. It's not, but it takes away all the meaning. And so it dilutes it. It definitely takes away the meaning and makes people think, you know, that they have more friends than they have. You know, the reality is that most people who you talk to on social media or that like your post, right, or see you, you don't even have their phone number. You don't have their address. Now, I get a lot of my support off social media. In fact, 30% of my listeners come off Twitter. Not going to sit here and lie and say that I've met most of them. I don't even know if I know any of them because I don't, you know, it tells us how many come from where and it breaks it down by region and all that, but I have no idea who the person is, okay? I could tell you I don't know. I don't use Twitter that often, okay? The girl who promotes this show or produces the show, I should say, she does most of the advertising on Twitter and Facebook and things of that nature, Blog Talk Radio. But social media has given us a view of friendship that is not in any way reality. Because the truth is, if you haven't talked to somebody in a long time and you finally find them on Facebook, if you really thought about it, and I've been guilty of this too, but I don't consider them a friend. I consider them, wow, I haven't seen that person in a while. That's cool. You know, they send me a friend request because I don't send a lot of friend requests. Most of them I'll get request me, but I do request people sometimes. And, you know, it's cool. I mean, it's definitely nice to see what someone's up to or whatever. But as long as you keep it in perspective, I hate the whole friend list thing, though, friend request. They should get rid of that and just have on there people, you know, people request. You have a people request. You have a person request from Charles Stanley, whatever the hell it is, okay? And you just click on that button, and there it is, and you're like, oh, wow, that person stopped talking to me 4 years ago. Or maybe I've never met that person, but they need one more friend to get to that 5,000 list, whatever it may be. But it's good. I mean, don't get me wrong. Social media is a blessing. It certainly has allowed us to keep in touch. It has allowed us to keep in touch with people who move away. It's allowed us to keep in touch with people who are going through difficult times. It allows you to make new acquaintances and sometimes friends. I'm sure there are people on social media that do truly become friends, not that many. But I just think that it's diluted the whole meaning of what a friendship is and what a true friend means. And I really think that for me at least, I take friendship very strongly. And so I look at it a little bit differently. Having said that, though, I certainly don't think that in any way that it's a bad thing. I just think that it dilutes our ability to see what a real friend is, and we almost make ourselves feel more important, more popular, more loved than we really are. That's why you have people that come onto Facebook and spill their whole life out. Like, these people really give a damn what you're eating, or that your man don't clean the house, or that your girlfriend don't go out with you on Friday night, or whatever. But again, those are things you would normally tell your friend. Once you start to accept and envision something as a friend, or you start to dilute the meaning of friend, those are the types of things you get. But each to their own. In a minute, we're going to be back, and you know, we're going to be talking more about being aware of the word, not using the word so loosely, starting to really put value into what it means, and what a friend is. Before I go to break, I do want to just say that I think that when we cross the line and we start confusing acquaintances with acquaintances with friends, that skews us too. Acquaintances make us feel good, right? Because acquaintances are easy to find. All they are is people that we associate with, or people who associate with people that we associate with. It's real easy, you know, to get 10 acquaintances, 15 acquaintances, 20 acquaintances if you really want to. And so acquaintances make us feel good. It does. It makes us feel that because everybody wants to be wanted. I mean, there's no question that being wanted, being loved, having someone to share something with is a very important facet of life. And as long as you can keep it in perspective and know that the person that you're talking to is somebody that you know, but not to go overboard and start acting like, you know, y'all are going to buy a house together, then it's a good thing. But I think what happens is with acquaintances, it's so easy to rope them as a friend because you hung out with them, because you had a beer with them, you see them at the bar. Perfect example, I know a guy out here that does basements. I see him probably once a month, right? He calls me his friend. I don't call him my friend. To me, he's an acquaintance, okay? If he called me at 2 in the morning, I'd forward it to voicemail, and I'd listen to it the next morning, and hopefully I wasn't his last call. But I'm honest about it. And if he was being honest, he would tell you he would do the same thing. It's not that type of relationship. Now we see each other, we're cool, we've made money together, there's no question about that, and we might sit across from each other and have something to eat, have a drink, talk about whatever, talk about football, talk about sports. Maybe we'll both place a bet with the same bookie, whatever it may be. But one thing we're not going to do is go to each other's weddings if we were both getting remarried. We're both married now, but, you know, we might go to each other's funeral if we could fit it in. It's just, it's being honest. And you know, he kind of thinks a lot like me. We've had this talk before, and we say, you know, one of the things that's weird is that we both recognize that we're not friends, we're acquaintances, we're business associates. And in the business world, it's very easy to make a lot of acquaintances. Work is a place where you make a lot of acquaintances. But some of your relatives are acquaintances. You know, they're people to make you feel good. But if you really think about it, how many of them do you see once or twice a year? You know, and then you say, oh, well, that's my, you know, we're blood, so, you know, don't get no thicker than that. Sure it does. Mayonnaise is thicker than blood. I mean, shit, there's a lot of things thicker than blood. A lot of things thicker than blood. You know what's thicker than blood? Loyalty. Loyalty is thicker than blood. And loyalty doesn't come from acquaintances. It comes from true, die hard, every day, got your back, go through anything with you, friends. And that could be your neighbor, could be someone you grew up with, hopefully it's your wife or your husband. It could be anybody. It could be a cousin, a brother, a sister, an uncle, an aunt. It could be the dog. I have some very loyal dogs. That is a true saying, by the way, man's best friend. Boy, I'll tell you, dogs will go through anything with you. They'll walk in the rain with you, right? They'll walk in the rain with you. They don't care how you look, what you're wearing. They'll be seen in public with you. They always want to kiss you. You're right. They don't care. They just want you to scratch them. That's all. They just want you to scratch them. That's a friend. I'm not telling you to sit around scratching your friends. But my point is that that's a friend. A dog is the true definition of what a friend is. We'll be right back. And we're back live on Make You Think Radio, and we are talking about friends. What makes a true friend? What is a true friend? And how many people, once they have that title, actually deserve it? How many people are wearing it that really don't fit the definition? We're going to start this off a little bit different, because what I want to talk about right now is beware of giving the word friend to somebody. Okay? You have to be very careful when you're going to make somebody a friend or say that somebody's a friend. And a couple of things that you have to look at is, one, what have they done to earn that title rather than hang out with you? The other thing is, when you gave them that title, was it because they were the only person around, or because it seemed like the right thing to do, or because you get along when you hung out? What test have you been through? You know, have you been through bad times where they were there, or have they been through bad times where you were there? Not so much that you guys share some of the same interests. You know, who cares that you both like ice cream, or you both like beer, or you both like girls with big butts? Who cares? That doesn't make somebody a friend. The question is, though, what have you been through? What made that person, or what makes those people your friends? What makes you call them that? And I'll tell you the first thing you better beware of: someone who talks about someone and then hangs out with them. Okay? If you don't think that that person is doing the same thing to you, you're delusional. You're delusional. The fact of the matter is that the most shady thing a person can do is talk trash on somebody and then turn right around and hang out with them, okay? And I don't want to hear all that stuff of, well, you know, they were just fighting. You know what? But you keep that in-house. I don't run out and tell the world when me and my wife are having a fight. Or I may say, you know, we're arguing, whatever, but I don't trash her. I don't trash her and tell the world how bad she is, okay, or vice versa, or at least I would hope. And you have to ask yourself a question. I'll give you a perfect example. When I was down in New Orleans, I went down there with, I'm not going to mention any names, but a little scumbag who I thought that was cool and tried to look out for him. And this was a guy who had done work with me, who was on hard times, and I put him up, giving him a job. Never really considered him a friend. But, you know, thought that we had an understanding. You know, we had been in business together. Anyway, so we get to New Orleans. This guy, within 3 weeks, had already made a best friend down there and was talking behind my back. Now, I could tell you that 90% of the people that me and him knew, he talked bad about them too. And these were people that he had known long before me. But yet he would turn right around and go out with them and have a drink and hang out. And a lot of people had told me, said, listen, man, you better watch out for that guy. It was a tough lesson to learn, but you learn from it and you become a better person. Having said that, though, you know, a lot of times we don't look at it. You know, we don't really look at what the reality is. And that person that's sitting in your face telling you that this person over here is a bad person and what they don't like about them and they're no good and, you know, they ain't never talking to them again and blah, blah, blah. And that's on Monday. And then Thursday night, you know, that's their boy or that's their girl and they're going out and blah, blah, blah. Get rid of that person as quick as you can. That person is not a friend. Don't lie to yourself. Don't kid yourself. Not a friend. Not even close. They're not loyal to anybody. They're loyal to one person, that's themselves. And even that's questionable. Even that's questionable. Test your friend's loyalty. You want to find out who your friends are, test your friend's loyalty. You know, I tell you something now, and it's going to surprise some people that are listening. Coming into this show, I wanted to do a little test. And so I got in touch with a couple of the people that work for me, and I said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to make up something, nothing like death or anything like that, but make up something. Car trouble, money trouble, whatever it is. Send out a text, and we had a list of 12 people. We each took 4. Or call, either or. Take notes on how each of them react. out of that 12 people, three of them we're not associating with anymore. Three of them still haven't returned the text. One of them, I should say two of them didn't return text. One of them, I spoke with personally, actually told me they'd call me right back. I still haven't heard back from them. Test your friend's loyalty. I know it sounds horrible. You say, well, why would I have to do that? You shouldn't have to. You're right. But people change. So anyway, what the positive was that, though, and here's the funny thing. Here's the funny thing, though. Let me say this. Out of those 12 people, the three that didn't even respond were people who weren't even friends. They're not people who I even hang out with. They're not people I grew up with. They're acquaintances, proving my point. But there are people that, when I'm on Facebook, are constantly, you know, trying to talk to me, send them emails, suggestions for the show, blah, 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 blah. Always call themselves down. Trust me when I tell you. Trust me when I tell you that you don't have nearly as much loyalty around you as you think. Do it with some family members. You really want to find out? Do it with some family members. Call them up, tell them you can't pay your rent or mortgage this month. You're about $400 short. Now, it's not a question of if they give you the money. See if they try to help you find it. A lot of you all will be homeless. I'm telling you, a lot of you will be homeless. But the few that would help you, you already know who they are, because in your heart of hearts, you know who your true friends are. No question about it. No question about it. And a lot of times, when somebody does you wrong, okay, someone who you thought was a friend, and somebody does you wrong, it's hard to, what's the word I'm looking for? You kind of hold a grudge, right? Because someone does you wrong, at least I do. You know, when someone screws me, when someone burns me, I keep that. And I always hear people, and quite honestly, they're usually the people. Tupac has a famous saying that says, people love to scream peace after they start shit. And I'm not going to get into names, but there were a couple people yesterday. Now, these people have done nothing but cause trouble and do things and spit venom for as long as I've known them. And finally, what over all these years, it's mounted up. So there's certain people in the group that I don't even associate with no more. And what I always hear from the other people is, well, you shouldn't hold grudges. You shouldn't hold grudges. Let me give you all some good advice. Holding grudges is healthy. As long as you can do it with forgiveness. See, where people get it confused is they think that when you forgive, and I know the old saying is forgive but don't forget, but people nowadays, what they expect is that when you forgive, things go back to normal, right? So, for example, I forgive everybody in that group, but it doesn't mean that I'm not now going to hold that against them. You know, it's just like anything. Your record is held against you, okay? Now, that doesn't mean I don't forgive them. You shouldn't walk around angry all the time or wishing bad on people. I always tell the people around me, you know, it's not for us to try and attack everybody, get at people. No, 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 no. But hold it within. And my sister always says this, okay, so I have to admit this is her phrase, but she always says this, that usually the people who say you shouldn't hold grudges are the people that fucked up. Because they know if you hold a grudge, they're the one that you're going to hold it against. You have to protect yourself from allowing yourself to be done wrong over and over again. So, yes, you should forgive somebody. Someone who once was a friend that screwed you over, you should absolutely forgive them, unless they've harmed your children, some of that nature. But you should absolutely forgive them. But you absolutely hold the grudge. There's no coming back. We're not going to have redos. I'm not going to let you re-screw me. It's not unhealthy. One of the big things, and I told my wife this yesterday, she said, well, you know, it'll make you an angry person. No, it won't make me an angry person. Here's why it won't make me an angry person. Because I don't walk around thinking about those people. What would make me an angry person is to continue to allow myself to have to deal with them. Because you already know what's going to continue to happen. So holding grudges, I encourage people. And not to hold grudges in the sense that you're trying to harm or you're constantly walking around angry, but absolutely. Someone did you wrong, hold it against them for the rest of their life. Wish them well, forgive them, but don't take them back. It's absolutely insane. It's the worst advice you can give somebody. And usually the people giving that advice are the people that screwed up. That's one thing that's absolutely for sure. Sometimes being alone is a lot better than being around people. Because if you're around people that have done you wrong, or you're around people who aren't good for you, or you're around people who talk bad about everybody else when they're not around, no good can come of that. Be alone, man. Stand on your own. Eventually, you're going to find it. Let me tell you something about being real and being a true friend. You're never going to be the most popular person. Never. You will never be the most popular person. You can't be. Because to be the most popular person in the room, you've got to conform to what everybody wants. The problem is usually the person that's the most popular in the room ends up finding out that they have the least amount of friends. Because you can't be loyal to everybody. Because everybody's not loyal. You have to pick and choose your battles. It's just like you can't work six jobs. You know, you can't work six jobs. It's hard enough to work two. You know, you can't raise your kids and three other families worth of kids. No, there's a line that you have to draw sooner or later. And sometimes being alone is the best thing you can do. You know, I got two girls at work for me. And both very similar in this facet. When I first met them, they had all these so-called friends. These great friends. Friends do anything. Friends, friends, friends. All I used to hear, my friends, my friends, my friends, from both of them. That's all I ever heard. And what they found was that when they started working for me and becoming, focusing on their success, all of a sudden those support, that support group, that quote-unquote friends, very few of them were left at the end. Now, they both each have a couple left because those were their true friends. Those are people that will look at. Those other people are long gone. They're long gone. Because they were never friends to begin with. They're acquaintances. It feels good to have 20 people around you. Sure, they're very popular. But were you really? That's the question you have to ask yourself. I've been there the same place in my life. There's a point in my life where I'd walk into a party, 30 people would be shaking my hand. I think back now, it's probably only four of them that was worth shaking hands with, maybe five or six at the most, and those are the people that are still with me to this day. They're still with me to this day. Being alone is not always a bad thing, and it doesn't mean that you're a loser. It doesn't mean you're a loser. I disagree with that whole premise. To me, being in a room full of people who don't have loyalty to you, that's a loser. Hanging out with somebody who badmouths you, that's a loser. Hanging out with somebody who you badmouth or who every other month stops talking to you, come on, man. Come on. There ain't no good coming of that. And you better never forget that you are who you hang out with. You are who you hang out with. I don't care. You can say whatever you want. People say, well, just because my friend does. No. You are who you hang out with. Whether you are or aren't, it's guilt by association. If you hang out with people who have their eyes on the prize, you will too. If you hang out with people going nowhere that don't care, you won't either. You hang out with a girl that's a slut, even if you're not, everybody assumes you are. You hang out with a drug addict, everybody assumes you are. And you know what? More often than not, what I find is that when people associate with people that associate with a group, that's who they become. That's who you become. See, let me tell you the definition of a friendship. Okay, let me tell you a definition of loyalty. All right? The definition of loyalty is this. And I have a very good friend. I'm not going to mention his name on here. He's a businessman in New Jersey. And this isn't about whether you approve of him or you don't approve of him. Okay? I don't care about your personal opinion and, you know, your morals. I'm going to talk about friendship now. He's in his mid-50s now, and took me under his wing, taught me pretty much everything I know about the event business, marketing, I should say, not so much the events, and was going through a rough patch in his marriage, and whether it's right or wrong, had at the time had his ex-girlfriend working for him, and they hooked up a few times. And I remember I said to him one day, we're at the bar having a drink, and I said, don't you ever worry about her telling on you? He said, absolutely not. And I said, really? And he said, yeah. He said, she's one of my best friends. He said, she would never do anything to destroy me because she'd destroy herself. And I said, well, what do you mean by that? He said, because she'd lose one of her best friends, and she helped me build this business. And I remember thinking in my head, that is loyalty. That is loyalty. Now, I'm not saying everybody should walk that path. And I understand that's not the perfect example. But how many of you have girlfriends or wives that you've never cheated on that talk you down on Facebook, talk you down in front of people, don't support your dreams? You know you do. You know you do. Going home every day, you live with somebody and you are alone. Or you hang out with certain people and you are alone. You know, two girls that I just mentioned that work for me, I told them both the same thing a long time ago. They come to work complaining, oh, this is blah, blah, blah. They think I work too much, this, that, the other. Why are you hanging out with people that are trying to tell you not to do better? You have to be stupid. You have to be dumb. You only have two choices. Pursue your dream and lose them, or give up your dreams and stay around them. They're going to desert you anyway, though. And that's what you have to remember. So you are who you hang out with. And, you know, really what you form is a dependency when you're in situations like that rather than friendship. You depend on them to keep you from being alone, even though you are alone. And your best friends usually are not the people who, if you ask somebody when they have 20 acquaintances, usually they don't even know who their best friends are until rough times come. I have a few best friends. I guess you could say that. I don't know if that's the right term. But the one who I'll give the big credit to right now is a gentleman named Junius out in New Jersey. Junius is a guy who you could call at 4 in the morning, and if you were in a bad spot, would drive to Pittsburgh. Never misses my kids' birthdays. Now, and I'm not saying anything against anyone, and I know there's other people listening. They're not saying anything against any of you. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm using him as an example. I have no problem calling him a best friend. No problem at all. Now, he may not be quite as ambitious as me, might have a different set of goals, but he will support and encourage anything that I try to do and will help in any way that he can. See, because your best friend doesn't have to be exactly like you. They have to have some things in common. I mean, you can't be best friends with someone who does heroin while you're working 40, 60, 70 hours a week pushing it. It doesn't have to be identical twins. So you got to ask yourself, who is your best friend? Maybe it's not the person who's considered cool by everybody, or the up-and-coming star, or the guy who makes $100,000. Maybe it is. But ask yourself, why are they your best friend? Have they proven themselves to you? Have you been through the fire with them? And are you surrounding yourself with people that are honest? Because that's the hardest part of being a friend. Sometimes being a friend is not easy because you got to be able to look at your friend and say, man, you are messing up. No, that suit doesn't look good on you. No, you should not continue down the path you're going. And are willing to risk you getting mad at them and having a blow up, maybe not talking to them for a few days. Or you're surrounding yourself with yes people. Because in the early part of my life, when I almost lost everything, that's exactly what I did. I was surrounded with people that would tell me yes, 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 yes. Didn't matter what I did. I could be drinking six bottles of vodka a night, and I wasn't quite that bad, but I was drinking a lot. And it was always okay. It didn't matter. Always okay, because I had pretty girls with me. Who cares? And those pretty girls weren't worth anything. I think back now, but at the time I thought they were. And a lot of you find yourself in the same situation, right? Your friend has had three babies by three different guys, and instead of telling her to slow down and quit using her pussy like a package at FedEx and delivering quickly, you tell her how beautiful she is and how beautiful the babies are, and all that may be true, but how about telling her the truth, which is that she's playing herself? Or the guy that's a deadbeat. You know, one thing that disgusts me, man, I'll get on the Facebook and I'll see people. I don't associate with deadbeats. Anyone that knows me knows I have a strong stand on deadbeats. Scumbags, if you don't take care of your kid, I ain't got nothing to say to you, okay? And I'll get on there and I'll see guys who I know are deadbeats, so I know the people, other people in New Jersey know are deadbeats, and they're on there talking to them. Hey, what's up, man? Blah, blah, blah. Hanging out with them at the bar. How can you do that, man? How can you do that? It does not make any sense. If you're going to be their friend and tell them the truth, look, man, take care of your damn kid. You're a freaking loser. Being a true friend means risking losing the friendship to tell them not necessarily what they want to hear. Not losing a friendship, but having hard feelings for a little while. Because you got to be willing to tell them what they don't want to hear because it's best for them. Not what they do want to hear because they want to hear it. It's not always easy. But that's what true friends do. That's the true definition of friendship. Absolutely. The average friendship in America, study was done, I guess it was about 2 years ago, and Gallup did it. I believe it was Gallup. Don't quote me on that. I believe it was Gallup, though. And the average friendship in America lasts about 7 years. And I was thinking about that, and I said, wow, that's not long. That means if you live to be 50, okay, or let's say 70, and let's assume we start making friends at 7, 8 years old. Let's say it's 10 years old, okay? 17, 24, 31, 38, 45, 52, 59, 66. You will go through 8 sets of friends in a lifetime. Or 8 best friends in a lifetime, whatever. That don't sound right to me. See, the reason why I think that is because the average person isn't really truly friends. You're really good acquaintances. Because friends are for life. I mean, how do you stop being friends unless one screws the other over? But, I mean, how do you just stop being friends? I never understood the logic to that. You just wake up one day and say, oh, it's not my friend. And the excuse was, and I read it, and what the excuse was, well, life happens, people get busy, they go in different directions. Again, with technology today, you would not lose touch. Now, yes, in the physical presence, you can, because, look, sometimes people move. I mean, look at me. I moved to Pittsburgh. I know other people that have friends that moved to Florida or North Carolina or Maryland or Ohio or wherever. But that doesn't mean you lose touch. You're telling me that I live in Pittsburgh, that someone in New Jersey never calls me or keeps in touch with me because I moved to Pittsburgh? Come on, man. Then they were never my friend, or vice versa. I don't keep in touch with them. And the other thing is, true friends don't stop talking to you because they don't approve of something you're doing, with the exception of, obviously, serious stuff. So I know some of you out there listening are saying, well, I wouldn't be friends with someone if they molested a child. Well, that's common freaking sense. I'm talking about, though, they do something that you may not personally do. That doesn't make you stop being friends with them. You know, I can think of two people that act like they walk on water and are very judgmental of everyone else in the world. But yet are about as imperfect as it gets. That's not a friend. It's not somebody that I want around me. I don't think that person. Now, other people I know call them friends. Oh, those are my friends. I don't see how, but that's their business. That's their business. It's not my problem. And we come up with these excuses, and one of the other things that was in there was that they develop new relationships. And one of the things that we tend to do when someone stops talking to us that was, quote-unquote, a friend, because they have a new boyfriend or girlfriend, is we blame the boyfriend or girlfriend. We say, oh, well, they don't let them talk to me, and they don't let them. That's bullshit. They don't have a gun at their head. Okay, now, granted, when you get into a new relationship, you're going to spend more time, less time with your friends because it's excitement to get to know that person and building with them, and who knows where it's going to go. But that doesn't stop you from hanging out or talking. And so people say, oh, well, it's him. It's him. Usually women do this, okay, or women's families, they do this. Well, he won't allow her to. He won't allow her to. But there are cases where we say, oh, well, you know, he don't talk to nobody anymore because of her. Or this. No, no, it's not because of her. It's not because of him. It's because of them. Because they've made the conscious decision to make that person the only thing that they care about. They're not focused on you. They've let your friendship go by the wayside. They've showed you their true colors, quite honestly, which is that you weren't that important in the first place. Now, this is where the holding grudges thing comes in. Just don't be the dummy that when they break up, standing there giving them a hug, because you know what? Here's what's going to happen. You're going to be by their side. You're going to be with them. You're going to deal with everything. You're going to, you know, be the friend that they need. And as soon as they meet someone else, you're going to go through all over again because they've already showed you their true colors. In the grand scheme of things, you were not that important. A lot of people have a problem accepting that, but it's true. Don't blame the new boyfriend or girlfriend. They didn't do it. Remember, they didn't come into this as your friend. They don't owe you any loyalty. They don't know you. They're involved with that person. Think about that. You need to think long and hard about that the next time you're cursed. Because you know what? It's easier to blame them than to just tell the truth. And the truth is that that person wasn't the friend that you thought they were. That they hurt your feelings. And it sucks. And I know it sucks. We've all been through it. But you got to be wise about it. And don't put the blame on the other person. That's not right. You know, I hear all the time, well, so-and-so's mad because their new boyfriend won't. No, new boyfriend got to do with it. Because even if he told your, even if he told the girl not to talk to your friends, she makes the conscious choice to do it. If she's standing you up every time you guys are supposed to hang out, or he's standing you up, or all of a sudden the things you guys used to do, he won't do any of them with you anymore, won't go fishing, won't do whatever, that's a conscious decision. That's not the other person. And that's not the definition of a friend. We'll be right back after this. And we're back live. When we left, we were talking about what exactly is the definition of a friend. And more than that, we were kind of getting into some of the things that people really don't want to hear. Who we call our friends, you know, being aware of the word, not just throwing it out there and making it, something that we just give out, you know, like a trophy. You know, first place trophies are supposed to be earned, not given. And I know in today's society it's a little bit different. That's not always necessarily the case. But the truth of the matter is that we do use it too loosely, that oftentimes we sit back and we just, go into cruise control. And we stop, looking at the facts and we just start calling everyone who comes into our life or that seems cool a friend. And when you do that, ultimately, you end up getting it wrong more if they end up getting it right. But the last half hour here, what I want to talk about is how important is friendship in life? Because we spend a lot of time on the negatives of, or not so much the negatives, but on the downside of calling someone a friend and people living up to expectations and excuses and whatever else. How important is friendship in life? And I'm going to tell you it's very important. Friendship is something that should be cherished. We don't get a lot of people who are true friends that come into our life. Some of us are blessed and we grow up with them. Some of us are blessed and we meet some good people along the way. And others of us never truly find a best friend. But how important is friendship in life? How much does it mean? Beyond all the regular stuff, you know, just the everyday talking on the phone, how much does all that stuff really mean? In a recent study, the study showed that having good friends reduces the risk of death by 60%. Now, there's a lot of reasons for that. Could you say, well, how could that be? It doesn't make sense. Well, for one thing, it boosts the immune system. When people have friends, they tend to be more happy. They tend to take better care of their health. They tend to mentally, because mental is a big part of health, mentally be better off. Now, there's no number on the amount of friends. 60% is a huge percentage, folks. That's a huge percentage. And we know that pessimism is a big link to diseases, heart disease, cancer, things of that nature. Not saying it's the cause, but it doesn't help, and it affects the attitude and how much we're willing to fight. But having said that, there is no number on friends, whether that's one friend, 12 friends, 15 friends, 9 friends, 6 friends. There is no number on that. Because one true friend is better than 10 somewhat friends, acquaintances. You know, I have about 7 people, 8 people that I call friends. I'd say it's 8. When I say, I will say it. And they all vary. They've come, most of my, a good part of them I grew up with. The other part I met years ago, or in the past few years. And they're people that have proven themselves to me. These aren't just people that I gave a blue ribbon to and told them, great job, you did it field day today, even though you came in last. And so a great friend is a great thing. You know, it's kind of like a diamond in the rough. They're not easy to find. We all know that. But they're so instrumental in your health. 60%, you know, and so friendship really has an unlimited value, because you think about the things you do with your friend, On top of that, as we get older, one of the most important things is memories. Okay, we create memories, but then you've created memories and having someone to share them with. You know, when you have memories and no one to talk with them about or no one that can relate to them, because think about it. When you tell someone who does, okay, I'll give you a perfect example. I'm out here in Pittsburgh, right? And yeah, I created memories. You create memories. And, you know, 20 years from now, there'll be people in Pittsburgh that I could sit and say, hey, you remember that time? But I'm talking now when I first came here, or even now, right? And I think about a time in New Jersey, things that happened, things that went on. Like when my mother was killed. And I tell those stories, but they can't really grasp it. Now, that's not to say that you know, you have, that's not to say that someone who I'm friends with in Pittsburgh, really only have one real friend out here in Pittsburgh. And that's not to say that she doesn't care, but she can't grasp it. I mean, she wasn't there, you understand? When I'm 65 years old, and I'm reliving that memory, or when my son was born, and went to ICU or all those things, that's not to say that they can't be a part of that. But those memories, having someone that can relate, that can talk about it because they remember it, because they experience it, are so valuable. Because I firmly believe this. And I tell people all the time, at 40, I have a tremendous amount of energy. Most of the 40-year-olds I know cannot do a radio show at night, get up and go run a business, work on a book, and do everything else, be a father. They can't. They don't have the energy. At 10 o'clock, man, they'll turn out the lights. Not me. But I firmly believe that the reason for that is that memories and not – I just don't want to get old. Like, I think that's a big thing I have going for me. I mean, I know we're all going to, but I have those memories. You know, they may be the smallest things, but I talk about them with friends all the time. And we laugh and we joke. And I'll tell you, after you have those conversations, you feel so good. And we relive the bad times, too. You know, things that happened, things that went wrong. But we relive them together. And those memories become even more important as you get older, because as you get older, you have less people to share them with. And it's so important to have that ability to have those people to talk to and share those memories, because I'm a firm believer that memories play such a strong role in the later years of your life. There's no question about it. I tell my wife all the time, one of the arguments we have at home, and it's getting a little off subject, I have a box. I want to put all my kids' stuff in there when they're 18, 15, 16. I want to be able to show them what they did when they were 3, 2, 4. I never had that. My mother, and I'll tell you something, my wife took for granted that she did. I'm going to tell you something, those memories mean the world to kids when they get older. And they mean the world to people like us, adults, as we get older. You know, we're able to relive the good and the bad, but we're able to relive it together. It's a huge thing. And in those memories, what we also do is it reminds us of when we went through the hard times. You know, when we went through the bad days, what made us strong, what made us friends, what kept us together. You know, the things we laugh about now, but we weren't laughing about them then. You know, the rough days of whether it was being poor, you know, being in trouble or whatever it may be, or having to deal with things, you know, being able to relive those rough times and look across the table or be on the other end of a phone or on a text and know that the person you're talking to wrote it out with you, and it's such a special feeling, you know, because everything in a friendship is not perfect, or you can laugh about some of the arguments you had, or some of the fights, or some of the things that went on, and it's not always perfect, but as you get older, those things take on more meaning. You tend to have a different understanding and a different outlook of just how much and how important it really was, and how you got to the point where you had that friendship. Because when you're true friends, being there through the tough times or laughing about the good times comes natural. You know, you don't have to work at being a friend. Now, that's not to say any relationship has some work involved, but you don't have to talk yourself into it. You know, that friendship comes natural. It's given. It's the most purest thing outside of a child's love that you can get. Because you think about it, you know, you don't have a choice in who your relatives are. Okay, whether you love them or hate them, they are who they are. A friend is someone who makes a conscious choice to be loyal to you. That is a great honor, to have somebody who makes a conscious choice to be loyal to you. And I always go back to that day in the bar with my friend out in New Jersey and his ex-girlfriend, and again, putting aside what he was doing, that she made a conscious choice to put her loyalty for him above everything. Or I think about some of my friends that, you know, I remember when my mom died, a lot of people showed up at that funeral, and people who had come from upstate New York, and I was just like, wow. You know, like taken back, something that I had never imagined, never envisioned, never thought about. And I'll talk to them still now once in a while by email, and they were more acquaintances, to be honest with you. But, you know, I'm able to relive those memories with my good friends. And it doesn't take work. It's just natural. We just pick up the phone and start talking about it. And we're not losing touch, but we may go 3-4 days without talking, maybe a week. And then when we pick up that phone, we remember just what we left off on the conversation. And that's deep, man. I mean, it's deep. It also makes interest that you have in life. Friendship makes common interest that you have in life so much better. You know, when you like football, and I'm using that as an example, when you have friends who like football, it makes the football that much more interesting, that much more deep, that much more meaningful. Because now you're watching that game because you love it, but you're also going to talk about it. You've talked about it all week, the buildup, the fun, the arguing back and forth, the common interest, the camaraderie. In anything that you do, the passion. You know, it just makes those interests that you have now just amplify. And let's be honest, our interest and our memories and our passion is what keeps us alive in life and keeps us young, keeps us moving forward. It's a great, great, great feeling, you know, to have those common interests. You know, I love football, but I love having my friends call me up, most of them Giants fans, and trash talk because I'm a Dallas fan, good or bad. And, yeah, we get under each other's skin and all that. But, man, it makes football season a hell of a lot more fun, right? I'm in a couple of fantasy leagues. I'm actually starting a new one this year. You know, I'm going to have some friends from New Jersey that have, a lot of them have moved out of the area. Some of them are still there. I'm out here in Pittsburgh, and we're going to do a big fantasy football league. And, man, it's going to make Sundays even that much more fun. And it's a great, great, great thing, those common interests. But it also helps you to age better when you're more social, when you're socially engaged, when you have outlets, because let's face it, we all need them, okay? One of the things that friends become early on in life for psychiatrists, we go through tough times, good times, bad times, we screw up, we do well, we hit the highs and the lows, they become, and we become for them, psychiatrists, right? That's the outlet. There is no bigger outlet than having that person to talk to or having those people to talk to. Not at all. And as you age, as you get older, as things go on in your life, it just means that much more. It just means that much more to have that social engagement, to not have the trials and tribulations of life just wearing you down. And, you know, the studies show it. I mean, study after study has showed that people who have a social life, and a social life can just be being able to pick up that phone and talk to your friend, age better because they're not carrying it all inside. They're not carrying all the stress inside. They're not carrying all the demons. They're not carrying, you know, there's a few people on this earth that know everything about me. I trust that they'll take it with them. But, you know, those are also the same people that you can pick up the phone and talk to. You know, even your spouse probably doesn't know you as well as your friends over the years or the person you're with because your friends were there to see the things that you would never want anyone to know about you, things that probably would have kept the person you're involved with from getting involved with you, right? I mean, let's be honest. No one knows more about you than the people that you are friends with. Real friends, okay? Real friends. And from a business aspect, well, I'll be a little selfish here. It opens up networking. You know, networking is a huge part of doing well in business. It's a huge part of doing well in business. Phenomenal part of doing well in business. You know, when you have true friends, your true friends are your best promoters. You know, you own a car wash. Your friends are going to tell everyone with a dirty car that they should take it over there, okay? Maybe they introduce you to a guy who leads you into buying 12 car washes or open up 15 car washes. My book is a perfect example. Most of my sales in my first book in the early going were word-of-mouth sales. People who were telling other people, hey, man, you got to get this book. You got to get this book. You got to get this book. This radio station, same thing. The first night when it lit up, word-of-mouth. People telling people to listen. Networking through friends, because your friends are going to bring you, your friends are going to work harder for you than anyone that you're going to pay. Because true friends want to see you succeed. True friends in business, true friends in life want to see you succeed. There is no question about it. It opens up new avenues every day for people all across America. Your friends can bring you a whole new clientele or a whole new door to open, or a whole new bunch of open doors, I should say. Makes us better people. By being friends, friendship is so important from that aspect too, and I haven't even touched on that, but it makes us better people, because it makes us a little less selfish. When your friend needs you and you're willing to go the extra mile, when your friend needs to borrow money or your friend needs a ride to work and it means you got to get up a little early, or your friend broke his foot and is in the ER and you know you're going to be up all night and you still got to make it to the office the next day to run the meeting, it makes us better people. We become less selfish. We just become less selfish. It's just reality. We become better people by having good friends, because what do you learn from good friends? Loyalty, right? Honesty. Those are very important things if you're going to become a better person. Things that we're always working at, always trying to get better at. We always want to be better people. But you don't have friends, you don't really have anything to go up against. You know what's going to sharpen you. You know, friends are a lot like practicing everything, okay? One of the reasons why I'm so good in sales or so good able to write or do meetings or even on the radio is I practice it. I practice it with my friends long before I brought it on here. It was my friends who were constantly telling me I needed to get on the radio, because they knew before anyone else did. And that's not to say I'm going to be a success at this. We could be off the air in a month. We may be here for 20 years. We may become the biggest radio station in America, biggest talk show program, may become nothing. But my point is that it makes you better at the things you're doing in life. There's no question about it. And they play a role in so many vital things, right? There's no emotion that your friends don't play a part in. Happiness, right? They're doing something that makes them happy, so you're happy. You're doing something that makes you happy. They're encouraging you. Grief. When my mother was killed, it by far, not even close, the toughest time of my life. And, there were certain people who I thought would be there for me who never even rang the doorbell. And that was a big step when I learned about loyalty. And most of the people I thought would be there were, but there were certain people that weren't, and I got rid of them. But that's not the point. The point is that I would not have made it through that grief, and I say this all the time, if it were not for the fact of, the people around me. And one person in particular, but there were a lot of people that played a role in that time, because I couldn't get up. I mean, mentally, I was shot. I really, really, really wasn't even sure. My son had just been born. I was so confused. I had every emotion running through me, and my friends played a role in every emotion you could think of, and that's what friends do. We play a role in each other. That I've done that for others. I mean, I've had friends who have lost cousins, brothers, uncles. I've had friends who have started businesses, from the happy part of it. Friends who have gotten engaged. Friends who have gotten divorced. friends who have had a baby. Friends who have lost a baby. You name it. And you play a role in those emotions with each other. It's like a roller coaster. But the great thing about it is you're not alone. You're not alone. And as you get older in life, and I think that's probably why that 60% number is there. Because if you think about it, and I just, when I look at it that way, right, when people are going through bad times, if there's nobody there to talk to, if there's no support system, how hard is it to make it through those times? Because we all know that we've hit a point in life where we just don't want to get up. Now, if someone's hitting that point every week, you got to get rid of them. But we all know, all jokes aside, that we've hit a point in life where we just don't want to get up. And somebody helped us get up. And, as much as I love my children, I don't know that my children would have been able. I needed to get it out. I was just so angry, and there was so much going on. But then I think back to when I got married, right, and the people that support you then, and they come out, and they're at the wedding, and they want to see you do well. And or when a friend loses a job, You know, they need to talk to somebody. They need to let that outlet out. They're worried. How are they going to pay the bills? What's going on? You know, you're helping them through networking, helping them find other jobs. I'm telling you, all those things are tied in. So that number 60% doesn't shock me. What does shock me, I would think it would be even higher. I don't think that anybody is meant to go through life without friends. And, you know, your best friend doesn't have to be any further than the person you live with. You know, too far, too often, husbands and wives forget that they were best friends before they were husbands and wives. And they lose that line of communication and the ability to talk about everything, you know. They almost become like they're not friends anymore. Like they're like now they're husband and wife, and that doesn't involve friendship. And, you know, I'll tell you this. The key to any successful relationship, especially marriage, though, is being able to be best friends. Because all those things I just described and needing someone, the good and the bad, the support system, if you lose that in a marriage, you lose the marriage. There is no question about it. It is so important to understand, and if you really think about it, you were best friends before you were husband and wife. And I think we all make the mistake of getting away from that sometimes. In fact, I know we do. One of the things, when I talk to some of my friends who have been divorced, one of the first things they tell me is we stop being friends. Stop being friends. And you have to learn that no matter how hard it gets, your friendship is what gets you through it. It's not a ring. It's not a marriage license. It's your friendship. It's being able to come back to those simple roots, sit back, have a drink, relive the memories as you're getting older. That's why you see old couples that are happy and they both live to be 90 and then one dies and the other dies right behind them, because they have no one to share the memories with. They have the support system's gone. The things that help them stay young are finished. And it's so important just to be able to have those things. And it's why friendship is such a value and a valuable and important part of everybody's life. There is no question about it. We'll be right back with the closing thoughts. And we're back. I apologize. It looks like the hold music, for whatever reason, was down. We'll get that fixed before we come back on tomorrow night. But we're back here for the closing remarks. And tonight we're talking about friends, friendship, how many people have that title or how many people we use that word with, and how many people really live up to it. And we talked a lot tonight about what to look out for, how important it is. You know, here's what I'm going to tell you. Every day, the word friend is used throughout America. It's used on Facebook. It's used on Twitter. It's used in our own personal life. The definition of a friend is very simple. A friend is someone who you never wonder if you're going to hear from them, talk to them, see them. A friend is somebody who, when something goes wrong, they're the first person you think to call. And when things are going right, you can't wait to tell them. Friendship has no question marks behind it. You either have full loyalty and friendship, or you have no loyalty and no friendship. And a lot of us spend way too much energy with people who have already proven to you that they're not capable of being great friends. A lot of times we're willing to put aside the people who are there for us every day because we're too focused on having more than appreciating just what we have. One great friend is better than 10 acquaintances. One true friend is harder to find than a million acquaintances. So the next time that you call someone your friend, or the next time your true friend calls you and you don't answer the phone because you're putting them off for whatever may be going on in life, just remember this, that when you get older, the very people that you call friends, you better get it right, because as you get older, there's less of them to choose from. We'll be back tomorrow night, and we're going to be talking about God and whether it's why here in America we've taken them out of society, and is it time for America to stop apologizing for their beliefs? This country was bred on Christianity. It is primarily a Christian country. And are we losing our society because we're losing our culture? We'll talk about that tomorrow night. Until then, if I were you, just remember to tune into the station that's always here to make you think, and take a few minutes to call your true friends. Stop worrying about the people who aren't worried about you.